It's always a joy to be able to see people fellowshipping, getting to know one another. It's always good to see. Good morning, Roosevelt. Happy Lord's Day. How are we doing? Well, I'm excited to be here this morning, as always, to continue in our sermon series, RCC Values. If you're new here, we welcome you in. We're glad that you're here. Thanks for coming this morning. Hopefully we get to see you a little bit more often. Thanks for worshiping with us today. We're on the tail end of our sermon series where we are explaining our deep-rooted values that we have and how it plays out in our church, which is our mission, which is to engage all people with all of Jesus. A couple weeks ago, we talked about our first value of being Jesus devoted, having a personal commitment to Christ. Last Sunday, we talked about our second value, biblically rooted. That is, having the Bible guiding and directing us in all areas of our lives. Which now brings me to this morning. And if you look around the room, you'll notice that we're not just a diverse community, but we are also a diverse family. And that's the third value that we're going to talk about today. Say it with me. Diverse. If we haven't met, my name is John, and I have the privilege of serving on the pastoral staff here at this church. Overseeing Sunday morning operations as well as community ministries. So if you're here and you're looking to get connected in any type of way, we have these things that we call community groups. And I would love to be able to connect you with them. So please see me after the service and I can point you into the right direction. Today we're going to be looking at two passages from Scripture. If you have your Bibles with you, please open them to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, or if you have your Bibles or your iPads or anything like that, open up your app to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. We're also going to look at Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, there's a blue one underneath the seat in front of you. Please take that and open to page 911. And when you get there, just say, got it. Since you have it, keep it there. I want to share with you a video from one of our college students, Noelle Lilly. She describes what a diverse family means from her perspective. If you've been here the past couple of weeks, you notice that we've been engaging you guys with videos, with blogs on our website, and we also got a photo book coming soon as well. So I encourage you to look at these things as we hear from different people in our congregation of what these values mean to them. So the video is going to play, then I'm going to pray together. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to dive into our passage. So please play the video. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come before you needing your help. We come before you broken. We come before you eager and thirsty to hear your word. We thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing now, and the things that you will do in the future. Please hide me behind the cross so your word can get proclaimed, so if your people can be edified, they can be encouraged, and we can ultimately glorify you, edify your church, and advance your kingdom. Amen. Now, what Noel eloquently said in that video is a great description for a diverse family, isn't it? I mean, who wouldn't want that type of community that was just described? The truth is, everybody seeks community. Everyone wants a people to live among. Everybody yearns for belonging and acceptance. Everyone wants to be a part of a family. Think of the young boy who went to your high school, who didn't have a father in the picture because he was in prison and his mother had to be mommy and daddy and couldn't spend adequate time with him because she had 3 or 4 jobs that she had to work. So he was home alone. I mean, he practically raised himself. Sadly, he embraced the streets because he longed for community. He wanted that familial presence so badly in his life that he joined the local neighborhood gang. Our society, I would say, the family is under attack. I mean, let's talk about it, Roosevelt. What about the young girl who grew up on the East Coast to a huge family and her father was killed by a close family member because of a drug deal gone bad? Oh, and not to mention, her brother molested her when she was about 7 or 8 years old. And for years and years and years, she kept that pain, she kept that shame, she kept that frustration, and she wouldn't tell anybody because she didn't think anyone would believe her. In our society, the family is under attack. There are many more examples of how the enemy seeks to destroy the family. So as we heard on that video, and we use that term so flippantly, and you will hear it more and more as we think about our values and how we're going to talk about them. But I just want to recognize that the fact that word doesn't always conjure up good memories for some people in this room, me included. Also, everyone in this room comes from a dysfunctional family in some form or fashion. Yes, your family. And your family. And your family. But God saved us to be a part of a renewed family. Because in the Garden of Eden, back in Genesis 3, our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned and disobeyed God by eating the forbidden fruit that they shouldn't have eaten. And it plunged the whole human race into sin. That is dysfunction. What happened next? Well, they had some kids, and one son, Cain, killed his brother Abel because of jealousy and envy. Oh, there it goes again, dysfunction. We all come from a heritage of dysfunctionalism. We all come from a family of chaos. I bet you all have your own dysfunctional stories in this room. And that's why it's critical for us to understand that a godly, a vibrant, a healthy, a diverse family is a value for Roosevelt Community Church, because we want to be family to those who don't have a family. We want to be family to those who don't have a family. And there are two reasons why. And this morning I want to give you two reasons why we value being a diverse family. First, because a healthy family represents the reality of living in authentic community. Family represents the reality of living in authentic community. Second, because diversity represents the heart of God to save all types of people. Diversity represents the heart of God to save all different types of people. So let's start with Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Let me read this into your hearing. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Now, this passage is on the backdrop of Peter's amazing sermon that he preached, that he proclaimed. Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He was one of Christ's closest companions, one of his closest friends, along with John and James. And Peter was a bit of a roughneck, you know. We would say he was a little bit odd, a little bit crazy, a little rough around the edges. I say that because he didn't play any games. When the people came to arrest Jesus on that night, this guy pulled out a sword and chopped somebody's ear off. This is also the dude who denied Jesus three times. So there's hope for you. And there's hope for me. In fact, there is hope for everybody. If Peter can go from chopping someone's ears off to denying Christ not once, not twice, but three times, to preaching an amazing sermon, speaking and proclaiming about the resurrected Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross, in which 3,000 people were saved. That is, they became Christians. By the power of the gospel, they turned from a life of sin and not honoring God to placing their faith and trust in the perfect, holy, good Lord of the universe. Oh, how there is hope. God has a way of taking flawed, unequipped, unqualified, crooked, and sinful men and women, and using them for his great ultimate purposes. Amen? And after he preached, there was a spiritual connection with these believers, so much so that they were like family towards one another. I actually like the way Dahadi Lewis says this. He's a pastor in Atlanta. He says, the church is not like family, it is family. God is literally our father, Jesus is literally our elder brother, and we are literally brothers and sisters in Christ. In the family of God, we have brothers and sisters in Jesus. We have we have spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers in the faith, we even have spiritual aunts. Excuse me, ants. And uncles. And I know we all got that uncle. That's a little, you know. We don't want to go to the family reunion because he's going to be there, but we're still going to go. We have spiritual aunts and uncles. But nevertheless, we have family. Acts chapter 2, 42 is our first extensive summary in the entire book. And in our passage, this godly group of people had four activities, four characteristics that they did with one another: teaching, fellowshipping, eating, praying together. And this reflects a vibrant community. It mirrors the people of God in a unique way. And they had this unity that was unshakable, because family represents the reality of living in authentic community. Let's look at this passage. The first element of teaching in our family is foundational because the scriptures guides and directs us. We saw this last week with being biblically rooted. It is critical for our discipleship, our walk with Jesus, whether it's through sermons or Bible studies, one-on-one relationships, community relationships. Look, there's a significant emphasis on teaching to take place. The text says that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Good teaching helps build us up in the truth of God's word. Amen? The second characteristic is fellowship. This is what family do. They fellowship. The gathering of coming together around the commonality that they had in the gospel. It's something remarkable that happens when the saints of God come together. When two or three are gathered, the Lord is in the midst. That's why Christians being separated from biblical family is not a reality. In your nuclear families, your older brother doesn't get to dismiss himself from the family when he wants to. There is no such thing as the lone family member in Jesus. It's by nature we are in fellowship with each other. Remember, God himself is a community. He's a family. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are made in his image and likeness, and therefore we are designed to be in fellowship with each other. Think about the logs that are in the fire. They stay lit on fire because they're together mixed along with other logs and, you know, some other elements, but follow me. Now, the moment you take that log out and put it by itself, what do you think is eventually going to happen? The fire in the log is going to burn out. Then you have a log that is dead. And that's what happens when we're not plugged into biblical community, not plugged into biblical family. We will stay on fire for a while, but because we are in isolation and not among the other logs in the fire, we will burn out. I encourage you not to be the single family member wandering around by yourself, not in the midst with your other brothers and sisters. We need each other. And that's why fellowship is so important for us in our culture that is very, very individualistic. Just like it was important for the early church in this passage. The third practice is eating among one another. This is a family practice, right? This may seem very simple, but in this verse it says, to the breaking of bread. They broke bread together. This is likely referring to the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. We did this last Sunday. It's something special that happens when we come around a family table and we're able to confess our sins, to reflect on Jesus, and celebrate what he has done on our behalf. Amen? They also shared meals and food in the context of relationships. At the dinner table, it's something unique about that time, and this was second nature for them. This wasn't forced or anything like that. They enjoyed one another's company and shared everything together. They wanted to be in close proximity. They ate meals as a family. This is amazing. And the fourth element, the fourth activity that we see here is praying, in which we see an authentic, what an authentic family looks like. Prayer is humble communication between you and God. Prayer is such an amazing discipline in our walk with Jesus. Just like it was for God's people in Acts chapter 2. As you can see that they prayed and lived life together in close-knit relationships. I submit to you that there are two aspects to prayer. One, talking to God, and two, listening to God. I'm convinced that we have a hard time of listening to each other because we don't know how to listen to God. I'm convinced that we have a hard time listening to one another because we don't know how to listen to God. Prayer is fundamental in our family. Verse 44 says, and all who believed were together and they had all things in common. What family you know have all things in common? As you can see, there's something supernatural going on here. And the punchline in all of these verses that I just read is the last one. Don't miss this. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. In the midst of them being family towards one another, they were also on a mission. Because of who they are, their being, who they are at their core, it reflects what they were doing, or better yet, what the Lord was doing. We don't do for the sake of doing. We do because it is who we are. And we reflect on who we are in Christ as family. The Lord is on duty. Look, in the passage, the Lord was at work. The Lord was showing up and showing out. Because of the preaching of the word of God and the commonality that they had in unison, and the Lord was adding to their number, the church was growing rapidly. Roosevelt, I know the author of Acts is describing what happened in this story within the early church, but can some of these practices be applicable to us today? Like teaching, like fellowship? Like eating together, like prayer, I don't know, like being a family. We want to be a family for those who do not have a family. We want to bring them into something unique, something special, something where it's evident that the Lord is at work. Amen? So the first reason why we value being a diverse family, because it represents the reality of living an authentic community. And we do that by exercising those four activities, but also secondly, because diversity represents the heart of God to save all types of people. Turn over to Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12 for me. It's on page 1032. I still hear some pages flipping around, so I'm gonna wait a little bit. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 12. 1032 is the page. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all of the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. John's second vision is the heavenly state of believers in Christ. He sees a vast number of various types of people worshiping the Lamb collectively. A fulfillment of what God originally said back in Genesis to Abraham. I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Which means in heaven, it's not just going to be one ethnic group in there. My wife and I, we take a trip every year, vacation, to celebrate our anniversary. It's actually coming up next month, so I'm excited for that. By the grace of God, 7 years of marriage. Y'all can clap. Y'all can make some noise. That ain't nothing to be silent about. I need to hear something. We got married when I was 21. Everyone thought we were crazy, but it is what it is. We were. But I'm crazy in love for you. Last year, we went to Hawaii. And I remember sitting on the beach and reflecting on life and sermon illustrations, all that type of stuff that pastors do. And as I was on the beach reflecting on life, amazing time, but I started to be a kid again. And I started playing in the sand. So I say all that to say to you, the next time you go to a beach, do me a favor. You got to promise me that you guys are going to do this, okay? I want you to sit down. And as you look at the glorious landscape, the majesty of God's creation, and you look at the ocean, you hear the birds chirping, you look at the sun, I want you to take both of your hands and pick up sand. Be a kid again. And as much as you can fit into your hand, I want you to try to number how many specks of sand that is in your hand. I mean, I really want you to guess when you do this. And I believe you're going to walk away. In fact, you're probably going to drop the sand and not do what I asked you to do. And realize that you cannot number them. And keep in mind, that's just the sand in your hands. We haven't even talked about the whole seashore. Listen, what I'm trying to explain to you is, in heaven, there's going to be a whole host of folks. There's going to be a comprehensive mixture of white, of black, of Hispanic, of Korean, of Chinese, Indonesian, you name it. There's going to be a whole host of folks that we're not going to be able to number. Every nation will be represented that no one can number. And in like our day, there's going to be no sin, no distraction. No divisions, no separations, but diversity, yet unity. Ah, what a sight that's going to be. We're going to be unified in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because diversity represents the heart of God to save all types of people. David Platt writes in his book, Countercultural, the body of Christ is a multicultural citizenry of an otherworldly kingdom. The body of Christ is a multicultural citizenry of an otherworldly kingdom. At Roosevelt, we are about the mission to engage all people with all of Jesus. When I say diversity, I mean that in every sense of the word. Diversity in the sense of personalities, diverse ethnically, culturally, theologically, politically, socioeconomically, vocationally, I mean diversity in every sense of the word. Like my girl Noelle said in the video, true diversity is a little bit of everything, and it's a kind of plethora in a nice blend of people. I've learned some things over the past couple of years about diversity. I've learned that some people, they don't really want diversity. I mean, they say that they want it, but they truly do not. However, they like the idea, they like the notion of diversity, but some people just want assimilation. You can't say amen, you ought to say ouch. They say that they want diversity, but they really just want assimilation. Assimilate to my image, conform to my cultural norms, to my way of thinking and looking at things in all areas of life. But at RCC, we are a diverse mix of people, and what a modern-day application of this passage in Revelation 7 that we have here in this church. I submit to you that everybody get used to the diversity here because that's what heaven is going to look like. I mean, look, praise God that we are a transcultural group of people. It's not easy. Some churches don't even have this, and I'm not trying to guilt them or anything like that, but I'm just saying, we are privileged to be a diverse group of people. Don't take that for granted. When I'm out and about in the city and I build relationships with people and I tell them that I go to Roosevelt, that's one of the first things that they say. Oh, that is a diverse church. I wish my church was diverse like that. I say, I don't know. Be careful what you ask for. This is by the grace of God that this is a privilege that He sovereignly brought us to this church in fellowship with one another. And listen, when we sing our last song today, they'll know we are Christians by our love. I want you to look around the room and note the different shades of people among you as we are singing the song together. Because in heaven, we will have on our white robes, representing purity, representing holiness, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation is the theme of our worship because salvation belongs to the Lord. And He freely gives it to those whom He chooses. If you're here this morning and you do not have a family, you're part of a dysfunctional family or a broken family, He invites you to be a part of His family. He invites you to have the right to be beloved brothers and sisters in His kingdom. John 1:13, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become children of God. It is a privilege. It is a joy. It's an honor to be in His family. We come into His family through faith and repentance. We come in this thing through understanding that the way that we like to do things and be Lord and God over our life is not the right way. There's a better king. There's a better ruler. There's a better creator of the universe that is telling us how to live and what to do. He's the best ruler of them all. We don't trust in our own ways. We trust and obey the path of Jesus Christ. It is embracing, believing, and living in the power of the gospel. The power of the good news through Jesus' death, His burial, and resurrection. He is the resurrection and life. And He can give you new life as you place your faith and trust in Messiah Jesus. And being in His kingdom does not mean you are perfect. In fact, there are a bunch of my brothers and sisters who are perfectly imperfect. We join you. We welcome you to come be perfectly imperfect with us as we follow the perfect God who conforms us and makes us more like Jesus, like his son. As I come to a close, diverse family is an important value for Roosevelt Community Church because family represents the reality of being an authentic. It represents the reality of being an authentic family, living an authentic community. Authentic is being real. It's not being fake, in other words. Families do not be superficial with one another. They are real with each other. My young folks say that they keep it 100. Family keeps it 100. Not 100, 100. Let me say something about my young folks. There's a decline with young folks being a part of the church. And one reason is because they can detect fakeness in people. They can sniff it out like a canine unit looking for drugs. They don't want superficial. They want to belong in authentic community, an authentic family, where we don't run from tough and hard and difficult conversations. It doesn't matter if it's on race or culture or politics, sexuality. The day is over where the church refuses to talk about controversial topics. Do you run from hard and tough and difficult conversations in your nuclear family? Do you just sweep things under the rug as they didn't happen in your biological family? Then we shouldn't do it in our spiritual family. May it never be. Is your gospel big enough to deal with the issues and challenges of our world? Is my gospel big enough? My young folks, they want to be real. They want a place where they can come and be real. Because for the longest time, different systems and institutions and structures has lied to them, has abused their power, has not been real with them. We live in a culture of authenticity, and the church should be the beacon light of authenticity. Amen? And diversity represents the heart of God to save all types of people. The heart of God is slow to anger. It's compassionate. It's loving. It's merciful. It's gracious. It's abounding in steadfast love. He desires to save people from their sins. He delights in that. He rejoices in saving all types of various people for his glory. May we seek to be a diverse family here at this church, to be a family for those who do not have a family for years to come. And the church said, amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have brought us into your family through faith and repentance. We trust in your word. We trust in who you are. We give you all the praise and all of the glory. Help us seek to be diverse, a diverse family, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how challenging it may be. Because we see in heaven, there's going to be a mixture of all different types of people worshiping you. Give us grace to do that here at Roosevelt. Amen.